Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tanny, let's go.
Thanks very much, guys. Here we go.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. On the score.
So I take the red line to work. I had never seen a Pedway tour.
People are so busy listening to the music, they don't see what's going on right under their very feet. Below the ground.
I love it, man, because you can get lost in the Pedway.
It was life-changing once I figured it out. It cuts my outside time in half, which either in bad weather or hot weather is really clutch.
So, Campy, you're one of the few people that prefers the Pedway in the summer.
Yes. I do it for all of you, so you don't have to deal with me just completely just drenched by the time I get in. I do, however, have a backup shirt in one of the drawers here.
How you doing?
Breathing like James Gandolfini over here.
If you stay closest to the pool, that's where the air conditioning comes out, so you'll stay cooler if you're over on that side of that hallway that you're walking.
Campy, how hard is your life with sweating, man? You
getting a good sweat here. Great sweat. Good beads. Nice beads.
I watch someone else work out and I start to sweat.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Yeah, let's do this thing. Mac and Parkins on the score with Spiegs in for the next 2 days. Rick Camp's an interesting dude, man. That is.
He really is. In all ways, I find the timing of things that he says interesting.
Yeah.
You're right.
What he says.
I find the synapses that somehow connect and trigger each other to make the aside or the joke that he thinks makes all the contextual sense in the world. I find that fascinating. The sartorial choices are fascinating. Everything is interesting about them.
And Rick Camp in studio.
That's why it was such a good get for Joe Ostrowski that weekend of Early Odds.
It was very impressive to get Rick Camp in studio. The things that he has to go through, I've just never thought of them in my life. The idea of choosing the Pedway in the summer to avoid the heat, as opposed to how most of us do it, to avoid the cold. That's fascinating. Hiding his fast food from his wife car.
Oh, man, that's you have to stop that.
I didn't know.
Spoken from a man who first hid food from his mother. And then hid food from his wife.
Yeah.
And then, if he's not careful, will hide food from his son. You keep just like putting somebody.
Three generations of hide and seek.
You keep putting somebody in the enemy category
right.
When they're not the enemy.
No.
But what you're doing is like you're imprinting your own guilt and your own BS issues onto whoever's handy. So break that habit, Campy, for the betterment of yourself.
It was just. We talk, we stay in touch. These shows will be keeping, reconnecting in some ways. But, you know, we talk off the air. I do think one of the things I'm proudest of,
yes,
of the Spiegel and Parkin show is the lasting, enduring nature of the I'm Fat podcast.
Oh, tremendous.
They just recorded their 20th episode.
It was their bit first.
Of course.
It was Jay's bit first, but it was brilliantly funny and it needed to come to air, and every opportunity to bring them in and talk about the mythical I'm Fat podcast, which it was so good in the theoretical sense.
Yes.
I can't imagine it's as good in the realistic sense as it was in the theoretical.
But I haven't All right, trust tree, right? We're in the circle here.
Yeah.
I haven't listened since the second episode because I don't want to ruin the mythology of what it was. Because it was a podcast
it's
for
brilliant.
6 or 8 months yeah. before it was even a podcast.
We hatched so many bits for that podcast.
It was amazing. So, no, in no way am I saying that we came up with the idea.
No.
But we actually forced them into doing it on the air.
I think so. I think so. And we gave them the inspiration and gave them the validity. Of our brilliant cultural approval.
Yeah, it was a platform that just needed to be created. And I was talking to someone who has access to our web traffic, and they were like, you know, a podcast that does surprisingly well for us, the I'm Fat podcast,
dude. That's a niche.
It's exactly
yes,
and it's a niche. Only in the sense that no one else is really doing it, but it's not narrow casting.
Oh no!
Everyone has an opinion of food.
Hey, it's wide casting in the true sense of the word.
That's exactly right.
It really and but it's not fat shaming. It's not one of those weight loss podcasts.
It's
like,
the other thing.
Yes,
it's fat celebrating. Right? It's fat pride.
I don't know who the sponsors are, but I mean, the options would seem to be limitless.
When is the fat pride parade, by the way? It's only a block long. Everyone runs out of energy.
You are looking live at the world's slowest moving parades.
The possibilities are endless. Like I branding, t-shirts. XL only, like it's just the possibilities truly are endless.
The Fat Pride Parade is just it's around the food court at the State of Illinois building.
Everybody rides in a food truck.
It's just
the fat twins on the motorcycles are definitely there if they're still alive.
Yeah. just going around the food court. We made it all the way around. That's a tremendous parade.
Only stopped to sit and eat 6 times.
Oh yeah,
God.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't. I mean, like, if you're gonna have a lasting legacy, yesterday B&B do a reunion.
Oh yeah, no, they had what 15, 16 years of Rock'em Sock'em Radio.
Yeah,
the freight train of hate and indignation.
17.
Thank you. The freight train of hate and indignation, as I called it years ago, which was always a great train when it was headed towards something that was worthwhile, like Steve Alford.
Sure,
terrific. When it was like today's random Rick Tellender column.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, don't get that mad at 800 words.
It's exactly right.
It's going to be fine.
It's, you know, it's okay. But
it was
anyway.
All genuine.
Yeah, right. 100%.
The same level of vitriol, Tanny. The same exact level of vitriol. But, you know, it was nice to hear them together, though.
And it was amazing.
And it's, you know, this is true depending on whoever you are and when they reach a certain age. It's like Terry sounded more youthful and vibrant, I'm sure, than he has in other conversations in his life over the past couple of months or whatever. You know what I mean? You get back in there with somebody that you roll with, and it just kind of clicks in a very familiar way.
They fell back into it instantly. It's like that scene in Rounders where it's like Worm and I fell back into our old routine like Clyde Frazier and Pearl Monroe.
Right.
It was just the best versions of each other, or maybe even just like the truest version. Like, I love Bernstein and McKnight. I think it's a really good, interesting, I learn things every day type of show. But there's no question that Dan,
you watch through it and it washes over you.
The show just washes over you. Sage Rosenfels. But it's just Dan and Terry making noises and not really having a conversation. It's just comfortable.
Well, this is the most celebrated and most ballyhooed reunion of the Scores Broadcast Week. Our, what, 9 months together? 10 months together? Something like that? Or was it more than that?
No, it was...
Just don't invite Tanny and I to dinner, no matter what you two do.
Right. Oh, we had a year? Did we have a year
yeah,
and change?
Yeah, we had dinner for the year.
Oh, that's right.
We made it like 12 months and 12 hours.
We had our celebratory 1 year anniversary dinner and on a Saturday night.
That's right.
And got the news on the Monday.
The station was changing on Wednesday.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's exactly how it went down.
In fairness, the dinner had been planned like 6 or 8 months prior to try to get the four families together.
Yeah.
And we had the M&M Bowl.
Sounds like a mob meeting.
That's right.
Got the four families. It's exactly right, Tanny. And no blood was shed, but we talked about who we were going to kill. We made a lot of plans. But yeah, mob. And I'm glad. I think we've made the wise choice, at least I have, today. Let's try and recapture the good chemistry of the final 8-9 months of the show, as opposed to the really bumpy awkwardness of us butting heads for the first 2 to 3 months of the show. Don't you think that that's the one to try and recapture?
That's a conscious choice that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we should do that.
And then my friend Matt Trueblood on Twitter said, you know, that's kind of a no-brainer. You guys should have gone for that from the start.
Why didn't I think of that? Would have been so much easier.
Yeah, it really would have.
Then, of course, I do enjoy... I definitely was playing a little bit of defense against the development of the chemistry because I enjoy steering into the skids so much.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't help but point out some of the awkwardness. And then we would just be like, oh...
Yeah, no, but
we have a guest.
And I agree with you on pointing out the awkwardness and just like adding to the self-awareness of it, because people can feel it. So you might as well just throw it out there and acknowledge.
What was amazing to me off of that would people be like, wow, you and Spiegs didn't, your chemistry is so much better. I'm like, yeah. Do you talk to anyone, including your wife or child, 4 hours a day?
We didn't know each other.
right. Exactly.
So tell me about yourself. We'd had a 2-hour lunch at Miller's Pub. The great Miller's Pub.
Were you the thing that you just said to Lawrence about yes and improv?
Oh, I talked about it with you.
Was one of the things that you talked about. Like, are you familiar with improv? I was like, yeah, I mean, a little bit.
I went all high-minded on
it. I was like, is this a quiz? I don't know. Oh, I mean, and then I was high-minded. I was like, I'm going to map out my next 25 years of radio and what I want to accomplish.
Yeah. And you know. Well, and now you're doing it. How many shows? You've got a lot of shows. You're doing a lot of stuff. I'm still the guy, just like I was in junior high, going from, like, play practice to, like, tennis practice to like orchestra at night or whatever. I'm still that guy. I had a band rehearsal last night for Tributosaurus. I got you and me together today and tomorrow. I have Tributo shows on Thursday and Friday. I have Inside the Clubhouse on Saturday morning and then Hit and Run on Saturday morning. Doing Cubs pre and post next Monday and Tuesday. So I have an insane little 7-day stretch here of doing everything that I do.
That's because you're versatile and multi-talented. I have one talent that some people would debate, but I try to
maximize it.
Yeah, to as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. So Monday and Wednesday of this week, I'm doing nights on Mad Dog Sports Radio. So I just signed up over there. So that's pretty cool to be able to freelance on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Do this show Monday through Friday. Sunday nights, I'll still have my CBS Sports Radio gig from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. And then we haven't talked about this.
I saw the Entercom gambling thing.
Yeah, and so that now during football season, my Sundays will start on the air at 8 a.m. on radio.com, their new online-only app and streaming network.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll do – so then that ends at noon. I'll watch football all day. And then at 9, I'll come back here to do the national radio show. So
okay,
I'll be from 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. Sundays.
Have you lined up the love interest for your wife? Or are you just going to let her find it herself?
She can find it herself. She's better looking than me. She's nicer than me.
But if you want to line up the road beef for her while you're working, at least you can then control like the information flow and stuff like that.
See, that suggestion in the first 3 months... problematic. Now since we've dined with each other's wives, it's totally fine, and you're right. It's McNeil and Parkins with Spiegel in our normal parade of nonsense. We actually should. We should fully flush out. We did the XLFL.
Oh, yeah.
We should do the Fat Pride Parade. Every element of it. Text line 67011. And of course, some baseball at some point. It's Mac and.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect, impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Target's on the score. Yeah! God. I haven't listened to that in like 4 or 5 days. It's just so, it's the voice of an angel.
That's Danny's, Danny's yeah at the end of We Don't Get Mitch Again from the Mitch album. I believe that was the only role that you played on We Don't Get Mitch Again.
That's right.
Is that true? Yeah! sang the whole song. Which nobody really remembers. And then wrote the whole thing, sang the whole thing. And then you did that. And that is the lasting memory. And justifiably so.
Well, I thought so. But you told me today that Lynn Bramer snubbed me.
Our pal Lynn Bramer on XRT.
Ex-pal.
Did a whole Lynn's bin on the best use of yeah in a song. And there's so many. But that didn't get a mention. I don't know if the Daltrey one, if the Daltrey scream from the actual Won't Get Fooled Again got a mention, but the fact that you did not get a mention from that is just...
It's frankly, it's disrespectful.
from a teammate.
That's what a teammate.
Yeah.
We're the same team, Lynn. Mm-hmm. God. I don't do a list of great bins and not mention you. It's just not fair. I should mention, because we're way late on this, top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald and the 25th-ranked Wildcats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season and single-game tickets on sale at nusports.com. The hour brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. And join the Score's Lawrence Holmes Tuesday, August 20th. He hosts Nicholas Castellanos and Derek Holland at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigley for the final luncheon of the 2019 Cubs on Deck series. Tickets on sale now at 670thescore.com/ondeck, presented by TimberTech and Xfinity.
Castellanos is such a breath of fresh air as a hitter, as a personality, as a hungry baseball player and hungry dude. That should be fun. I was thinking about Nick Castellanos today as I was reading about some Astros stuff, which I know we will get to, with the Astros in town to start a doubleheader with the White Sox a little bit later today.
Yeah, and before we do that, let's just acknowledge the brilliant texters at 670-11 who are contributing to the Fat Pride Parade.
Yeah, what have we established so far about the Fat Pride Parade? It's extremely short. One texter says it should be two city blocks. I continue to say it should just be around the food court of the State of Illinois building there in the basement. It's inside.
I like that very much.
Just to be safe, doesn't it have to be during like the fall? Can't be a summer parade.
Oh, no, that's early spring or late fall. That is perfect non-sweat producing weather.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Long sleeve weather is where you want it to be. Multiple people saying it should just be in the pedway, which bridges very nicely to our conversation from yesterday.
The marching band is only tuba players. And the best part about that is that Rick Camp played the tuba or the sousaphone in the marching band. I believe at NIU he played.
I believe he did as well. That text, you should try to top it today, but it will be impossible.
Only tubas. People throw, instead of confetti, there's just candy at the parade.
I like that.
Just streaming down from upstairs.
Yeah, it's perfect.
And Mr. Pouty Pants, the Fat Pride Parade, sponsored by Casual Mail, which is now Destination XL, because you're working on it. That's a very deep cut from when I brought up years ago that Casual Mail, which is now Destination XL, that I should be their spokesperson. Destination XL, because you're working on it.
It's a great tagline.
Right?
Yeah, it's encouraging.
Feel good about you're working on it. In the meantime, pick up that 3X, one that fits.
It's a tremendous amount of positivity.
Guys, instead of ticker tape, it's just garlic fries.
That works.
This texture says, as a P1 of the I'm Fat podcast, I believe that the Grand Marshal will be dressed in a giant can of Gold Bond powder. Yeah, that's not bad.
That's useful.
The parade sponsored by New Balance and Skechers wide fit memory foam shoes.
This is what I'm talking about. Yeah. So keep them coming. Text line 670-11. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West Division champs at Ryan Field this fall. They've got Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa, and more. Season and single game tickets on sale at nusports.com. So, the best team in baseball is in town, and no one really seems to care. Would you say that's fair?
I don't know. I mean, like, we've reached a certain moment here in terms of the White Sox where they've played so poorly for a while here that people are ready to move on to a time of consequence, which will be next spring. You know, unless Luis Robert and Nick Madrigal come up in September, I don't, you know, or you could watch Giolito, you could watch Cease, you could watch Ronaldo Lopez. There are things to watch. Moncada, when he comes back, Tim Anderson is a joy on a lot of levels. But, yeah, in terms of the actual games, there's not a lot of interest in that. We've also reached Bears preseason frenzy.
Yeah.
Where this is kind of the point not quite now, but I guess within the next couple of weeks, I would annually rage against the dying of the light that is the baseball season. Like, it's not over yet. Don't just move on. Obviously, with the Cubs, you have a pennant chase and all of that. But in terms of the White Sox, yeah, there's not a lot of care. So the Astros are here, and I don't know how many people are going to go today. It's or how many people are paying attention that the Astros are here.
I think it's kind of specific to baseball also. Like, last year, Patriots play the Bears. It's different. Bears are in a competitive season. It's the NFL. There's focus on every game. But it was obvious to have the, let's compare where the Bears are to the Patriots and examine the greatness of that franchise. When the Warriors come to town for their one time a year in the NBA, it's look at where they are and compared to the Bulls and that standard of it. I just think because there's so many games, baseball doesn't necessarily lend itself that way, especially when they're playing the team that isn't competitive.
Yeah, no, it's fair. Here's how good the Astros are.
Well, I'd argue against that, though.
Go ahead.
Because, like, when the Yankees come to town, I know that it's the New York market, and the Yankees obviously have the history that's more than just in recent years like the Astros do, but it's, oh, the Yankees are here. Oh, the Red Sox are here. It's going to be partly because of the fan bases that both of those two teams attract, and the Astros simply don't have that, or like the Dodgers when they're here, that's always big.
That's the power of laundry.
That, to me, that's exactly what it is. If the Red Sox were the Astros, it would be a bigger deal because of market size and history.
Now, Astros and White Sox have a little tradition themselves from 2005, so they could go down that road if desired. But, you know, I don't know that the Astros will ever, no matter how good they are, they'll never reach that feeling of the heritage franchise of the Red Sox or Yankees coming in.
And not even in their own city. It's a football city. It's a football state. I mean, the Astros have a decent fan base.
It's a football city that's seen a football team move to Nashville, too.
Absolutely, but I can just tell you, like, if you want to use our metric of, like, you know, you go on a radio station in another market, they're like, what are Bears fans talking about? As if I can speak for all Bears fans.
Right.
I know multiple people who...
In the Houston market.
Who work in Houston, lived in Houston, and they talk Texans 365. It's their... The Astros, they've got the best GM, the best organization in the sport. It is still a secondary talker in terms of moving the needle, as are the Rockets, and both the Rockets and the Astros are ran way better than the Texans are.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. By the way, a little bit of breaking news here. Ben Zobrist's rehab or his comeback will continue. He's going to join Iowa on Thursday in Memphis. So as he gets to kind of pick and choose a weekend series seemingly every week or, you know, at a convenient locale for a team in the system, he will join the AAA club of Iowa as they play at Memphis, which is obviously close to home there in Tennessee.
The Cubs are letting him dictate this seemingly 100% and building it around his schedule. They're like, just be honest with us. If you can't come back, and then you'll be shut down. But if you can, play the games when you want, where you want, as often as you want. He is calling the shots here.
This continues to be an unpaid leave of absence for Ben Zobrist.
Correct.
So until he's in the bigs, he is not getting paid. That money is being used for Craig Kimbrel and was used in accounting for Craig Kimbrel. And I'm sure that they had in their mind that they weren't going to have to deal with the possibility of paying both of them until September. If at all. So, you know, and because of the relationship and because of the situation, I have no problem with the way this is going at all. I know some people do.
I
do not.
It's not a problem. I wouldn't use that word. I am struggling. You know, I love to find precedent for things. I am struggling with precedent for a story like this. A player missing so much time because of a divorce at this stage of his career.
Sure.
It just feels fairly singular.
How much precedent was there for Tommy La Stella flipping out at being sent to AAA and going home and them having the kid gloves in the situation and dealing with him mentally and psychologically in the situation? And they ended up having a good relationship that continued for another, what, a year and a half, 2.5 years?
Yeah, you know,
there's not a lot of precedent to that.
There's not a lot, although I do think there is some for guys getting demoted. Like, I immediately thought of Danny Duffy, a guy I was close with in Kansas City who considered quitting the game, and he got demoted, and then he ended up having a lot of loyalty to the Royals because they stuck by him with his tough times, like the Royals stuck by Tommy La Stella, and it made their bond stronger. I'm not even saying that Zobrist doesn't deserve it. It's just I have a hard time having a problem with it because I think that how they're handling it is a one-of-one example.
And I think, and like the other situations, there is a self-motivated component here. It is,
of course.
It is good. It would be good to get Ben Zobrist back if he's got timing and can contribute, and it would be good to not have it happen until the rosters get expanded in September as well.
Right, and I'm sure that they're communicating that in some way. Like I doubt it's 100% driven by Zobrist. They've got some of their own motivations, monetary, roster.
For sure.
All of that stuff. But publicly, anyway, I mean, he hasn't even talked to the media.
No.
Nothing about this has been public.
He wants to talk to his teammates before he talks to the media. I get that.
As do I. Again, no problem with how it's being handled, but I'm just kind of like out of sight, out of mind with Ben Zobrist because I have no comp for it to say like, oh, you're doing this wrong or you're doing this right. I have no precedent.
Not one other job would let you do this. It's a divorce, not the end of the world. FFS. They believe that's for bleep's sake. Maybe just a couple other jobs. Maybe like entertainment company executive, bank president. You know, I mean, just a couple other jobs would you get this kind of thing?
Yeah, you're right.
You're right.
It is absolutely unusual, but also...
He's got that job, though.
But exactly. He has that job, and he's not Anthony Rizzo. He's not Javi Baez. He's not a younger player in the prime of his career who hasn't gotten paid yet their big money.
Wow.
This is probably his last year in the big leagues anyway.
I didn't realize that we had evolved into Patrick Sharp-like rumors here. With the text screen?
Oh, it's nonsense.
With players?
I have no.
In case anybody needs that debunked, I can thoroughly debunk that for you.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
Absurd.
I don't even like speaking to it because, it, you know what I mean? It almost gives it validity. There is no validity.
No, there is zero validity
to it. Yeah, so no, it's total nonsense. But it is, of course, something that whenever something like this that comes up personally gets rumor-mongered on the internet anonymously.
I heard it was Shep.
Of course.
That Shep hooked up with Zobrist. Ben.
Yeah. Right, of course. And he's training for the marathon these days.
We are both alums of the Dave Darnell basketball camp at Eureka College, and we spoke about that in spring training, so we just hit it off.
You think I didn't know that, Shep? Right. You think I'm not taking that into account?
You think the texters didn't know that? Unbelievable.
Shep's a little jealous. He wanted to sing Zobrist's walk-up song.
Right, exactly.
Some are optimistic. Because of Matt Nagy.
Wow. I forgot
did we do that.
Yeah, we did that. That's that the ultimate track on the Mitch album should probably get a spin today. I think it's still relevant.
Oh, it'll happen.
Yeah.
But and, I mean, we got to do it later, and then we got to do it in prime time, baby. Because, I mean,
I'll be ready.
It's a lasting legacy. It's Mack and Parkins with Speaks in on the score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Let's go to Darren on 670 The Score. Hello, Darren. How are you?
I have somebody the White Sox really could use. Fernando Tatis Jr. Oh, that's right. We had him. A generational talent for the next 10 years who has dealt for literally for garbage.
Literal garbage, Speaks. Not theoretical.
literal garbage.
I tried to tell that guy on Sunday morning on Hit and Run that at least that's the move that made them switch gears. About 2 months after that, they're watching James Shields with an ERA of 7+. And they're wondering, what are we doing?
Fernando Tatis Jr., who's dealt literally for garbage.
Yeah, I don't know if James Shields appreciates that. But Fernando Tatis, every day a different highlight for him. He's got Javier Baez-esque body control and instincts, the leap for that liner at short. I think that was last night. He potentially could be the first rookie in a long, long time to win the batting title.
I know you are Mr. Positive, and so I get what you're saying in terms of it's the move that made them pick the lane, and they picked the right lane, so take some solace in that.
Yeah.
But the margin of error for a team with the White Sox budget is just so much different than a team like the Cubs or the Astros or the Dodgers that overcoming a miss like that just makes the rebuild so much harder to be successful in.
Well, it was before the rebuild really even truly began.
No, I know, but if you would have
held on to it.
If you held on to him and then just because it's the right thing to do,
yeah.
Start the rebuild with that as one of your assets to add after you trade Eaton and Sale and Quintana,
yeah.
It's just you're that much stronger.
Well, the White Sox rebuild is not as clean as so many of the other rebuilds that we've had around baseball because the regime didn't change.
Right.
Because so when the regime doesn't change fully, even though power might shift and philosophy shifts with everybody involved, you're still going to end up walking on eggshells around certain people who are comfortable in the organization and have some loyalty from above, and you're going to get to 3 years later and find yourself still kind of dealing perhaps with some people who should not be in the jobs they're in if you're trying to achieve a more modern approach. And that's certainly where the White Sox are on some level. It's not like some of the things that are happening within the organization are things that in other rebuilds might have happened in year one or year two at the latest. But here we are late in year three, and there's some of that happening.
We only have a minute or two here, but give people a for instance, if you can give a specific on that. Because
I can.
I think that matters because everyone talks about, you know, a Jerry-owned team and loyalty, and
right.
He sees it as a positive or a neutral, but in this case, it can end up being a negative.
James Fegan wrote in The Athletic today about some stuff going on at Low A Kannapolis, and here's a first baseman, Corey Zangari, who is 22, but he's been at Kannapolis, Low A, for like three parts of years, and he's saying about right now, this moment, previous years, we didn't have analytics guys with us, nor did we have stuff before the game. We had, like, the pitcher, how hard he threw, his ERA, stuff like that, but we didn't have hot zones or what he throws in counts or percentages of what he throws in this count or percentages of what he throws in that count, what his go-to pitch is, what his best pitch is. So they didn't have any of that stuff before this year, here in year three of a rebuild. A 24-year-old named Ian Dawkins said of this year, it's definitely been better. There are certain things you can look at. For me, it's definitely what pitches he throws in certain counts, percentages. I can kind of be more locked in on a certain pitch in a certain zone rather than having no idea and looking for every pitch. It's good that they're doing this. It's good that
they're just late to the party.
Yes. In their own rebuild, they're late to the party. And when you're late to the party in your own rebuild, it has a dangerous potential of shortening the window of all these young, cheap assets that you've compiled. Because the idea is that as they all hit the bigs, you're loaded with a bunch of them and there's more to follow and you're developing other guys and doing stuff like that. And that may not be happening because the development is being revamped on the fly as we go here.
Text line 670-11, guys, the fat pride parade can be stationary. And the audience just walks past like it's a museum display. Keep them coming. Fat Pride suggestions. We talk to Hub Arkish next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.